B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour of Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday. No Mike and Tony today. Jim Murray, Matt McCarthy, and you at 617-779-0985. If you want to join the show here in the final hour, it's an agenda-free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now. Bernardi for life. Bernardi Auto Group. .com. Typically what happens here to kick off the fourth and final hour of Felger and Maz on agenda-free Friday, it's usually a reset. Maybe something has bubbled up. You got to be in your bonnet. There's another take you want to get out. McCarthy, anything?
I have absolutely nothing for you, Jim.
All right. Well, let's do a quick little roundtable.
Okay.
How long do you give it before they kill Ghislaine Maxwell? And by they, I mean, you know, the powers that be. The same people that killed Jeffrey Epstein. But Jeffrey Epstein killed himself.
Okay.
And if you believe that, you're an idiot. So they catch Ghislaine Maxwell, who, if you don't know the story, helped prop up this rich pedophile who is, you know, known and befriended many of the most powerful people on the planet. So they catch her in New Hampshire, like near Mount Sunapee, at a place she paid for in all cash in December, because, you know, you get to do that when you're a rich a-hole.
Right.
So now, in the same jail where Jeffrey Epstein was murdered by mysterious shadowy forces a year ago, and now she's in that same prison. She's supposedly under, and I'm using air quotes, suicide watch. How long does she last? Here, it's two questions.
Yeah.
And let's open this up to the fellas in the back as well. Jimmy Stewart, who I know likes to spend some of his time in the dark corners of the internet, so I know you have thoughts on this, and for Billy Lanny as well. How long does she last, and who do you think right now is the most shook? Like, in other words, who that was on those Jeffrey Epstein flight logs is really sweating like old cheese at a party right now?
I'm going to give it 3 weeks. 3 weeks or under. And I would say Prince Andrew.
I would say within the next couple of weeks. And Prince Andrew, it's a coin flip between Prince Andrew and Bill Clinton for me. But definitely Prince Andrew. He's got a lot to lose. Well, they all got a lot to lose. Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, the Clinton Foundation, yeah. They have the most to worry about.
Yeah. And how long before she's murdered?
Little strong, but I don't know that I'm comfortable saying that on the radio.
Okay. Jimmy Stewart also doesn't want the shadowy forces coming after him. Right. Billy Lanny, you got a thought back there?
Already dead.
All right. Well, good. So that's just something I had. You see, you know, I can't be all sports all the time. It's a story I find fascinating.
We could do a death pool. I mean, that's innovative, right?
Yeah, you know, that's another go-to old staple of radio. Let's start a death pool. How long will Ghislaine Maxwell last? You got, what's the over-under? I just find it fascinating that she was found hiding at a palatial estate in New Hampshire. Nobody knew she was there since December, paid for it straight cash. And it just, it also, what says a lot about us as a society, as a people, that we fully expect her to also die mysteriously in prison, much like Jeffrey.
Conspiracy theory, if you'd like.
Yes.
She's already been working with the government. She's telling where all the bodies are. And, you know, between now and, say, November 3rd, we'll find out more and there'll be evidence.
I just want it. It'll keep her alive. I want to see the juiciest details. Let me know who all the scum are. Like that's what we all were clamoring for.
Oh,
right?
It's coming.
Oh, I want it so bad. Oh, it's such a that story, that fascinates the hell out of me. But of course, it is a sports talk channel. This is a sports talk show, but it's agenda free, so I just wanted to bring that up. But we will go to you, the people, at 617-779-0985. Let's go to Bill in Maine with the Patriots. Thought. Hello, Bill.
Hi. Hey, the other day. Maz wondered whether this new offense of bringing Cam in would retard his progress. And I would argue that the offense that they designed for Cam would have been a lot more suited to Stidham anyway. But if I could offer a really stupid analogy, playing behind Cam and playing with Cam, I think will open up some good things for him. I learned how to play pool in high school. I learned how to play three cushion billiards in college. Gives you an idea what kind of scholar I was.
Is it true what they say, Bill? The more cushion, the better the pushing? I'll leave you with that, Bill. They got a real certain pace up there in Maine, they do.
That they do.
He's a sweet man. Jen and Hanson, kinky, next here on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz. Hello.
Oh, hey, guys. It's Jen, but no problem. So I just had a statement about, you know, COVID testing. You guys were talking earlier about, like, the accuracy, you know, that such a low number of players tested positive. But, like, the statement I wanted to make, I'm a physician assistant and work in Boston, but that these tests, like, were just made, like, 4 or 5 months ago and not accurate at all. So, like, you have to, like, consider that, you know, maybe they're getting 50% of the people positive, but there are false negatives, you know, so you have to, like, consider that there is, like, this is probably a really poor test and that they're not catching everybody who is positive. So,
yeah, thanks, Jen. Also speaks to what I feel about the coronavirus as of today, 7/10/2020. And that is, even at the highest levels, the most trustworthy scientists, nobody knows anything about it. We're just all trying to figure it out. I think they are doing their best to try to figure it out.
Totally.
At just like a base level, COVID-19, no one really knows.
Roll with the punches.
Yeah.
You know, we're
going
to learn what we learn about it in, hopefully, you know, soon, sooner rather than later. But I agree. I mean, you know, you hear all these stories and these anecdotal stories about, well, you know, how about Joey Gallo, what tested positive and then tested negative the next day? And then, well, you know, how many negative tests do you need to have? And it's hard to truly trust it. It's better information. It's better to have as much information as possible. But I'm sure there are false positives and false negatives in all of this.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about it that really bugs me, too, is just as a whole, is a pandemic. You know, I've brainwashed myself with all these pandemic movies over the years, Matt. 28 Days Later being my favorite of them all, you know, World War Z and what have you. Last of Us, video games like that, one of my favorites of all time. So I've always expected and been terrified as a germaphobe of a pandemic, but I've always assumed once the pandemic, if it were, God forbid, to ever happen, as it has, that it would come with, you know, those things that we see in those movies and those video games.
Right.
People turning into monsters,
zombies. Straight up Resident Evil stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
All of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And what do we get? Anger and boredom. Like, it's just so perfect. Like, the pandemic hits, and what has happened? Just anger, boredom, people out of work.
Right.
And just confusion.
People getting...
Can't even do a pandemic right now.
Getting angry about masks. No, it just didn't come and, you know, take care of all of us in one fell swoop. No, this is going to be slow, and we're just going to have to sit here and be bored until either the world returns to normal, or as Jimmy Stewart says, we never get out of it, and the world will continue to get worse with every single passing day.
Pete in the car on Cam Newton. Hello, Pete.
Hey, guys. Two quick things. Is Cam Newton now the best quarterback in the AFC East? And if he is, does that mean another AFC East division for the Pats? And the second thing is, I can't see how these leagues are actually going to play. I mean, what happens with the NFL playoffs? Like, some of the Chiefs has COVID. Do they quarantine the entire team? Or I just don't see it happening, guys. Sorry.
You know, it's a good question. I think, I mean, you can't lie, though, because if you got caught, like, you're doomed, and then that becomes a whole league-wide problem, not just, but if you have it and you're asymptomatic, as a fan, selfishly, I would hope that they would turn a blind eye, especially if we're talking about a star player. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Well, I don't hope they turn a blind eye. You don't want this thing to continue to spread. And that's the problem. But you know what, Jim?
I'm part of the problem, Matt. I'm a selfish a-hole.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I guarantee you, that's what the NFL is going to do. We were looking at, Arcan and I, the other night, we were looking at the flow chart for what you're supposed to do if a player on the team tests positive, and there are two different options. One is, you know, close contact, well, you get tested. The second one is lower medium contact, you maybe get tested. It's like, okay, well, how do you define lower medium contact, which I guarantee you every player will be defined as, hey, he wasn't really that close to him.
Yeah.
Like, it'll just be, well, all right, it's the right tackle, so, well, we'll only test the defensive end who was going up against him in, you know, 3 hours of one-on-one drills. We won't test the right guard, though. We won't test the guy who was next to him for 3 hours. We'll only test the really close contact. Guarantee you that's what they do, which I have a problem with, because I think everybody, and we go back to personal responsibility, I think everybody has their own responsibility to learn as much about this, keep others in mind. If you're feeling sick, stay home, whatever, get tested. And you know what? If you get tested and you're positive, then everybody else around you should be tested so you don't spread it. And I hope the NFL takes that seriously. My concern is that they won't.
And going back to his first question, If, well, again, assuming health, you always have to say that when you're talking Cam Newton. Is Cam Newton the best quarterback in the AFC East? People love lists. Let's do our list quickly. Top of my head, yes. Again, yes. Assuming health, he is. I like Sam Darnold-ish, but I don't know. That's just based on potential. He's made some nice throws, but I think he's getting ruined by the week by that moron coach with the Jets. So I'm not putting him one. Josh Allen, I think, is he reminds me of a dumb. He's like there's times like in terms of balls, like he reminds me a lot of like a young Ben Roethlisberger with his ability to like break away, make plays with his legs. He's got stones, but boy, his deep ball is as bad as I've ever seen. So he's like a younger, dumber, young Ben Roethlisberger in a way. So I'm not putting him number one. Yeah, no, it's Newton.
Newton.
Then gun Darnold. To my head, I guess I go Allen, even though I really don't like him because, I don't know, I think he's surrounded by a lot of talent there and Diggs will help. Then Tua, but I'm just basing that on upside, I guess. Doing a list live is probably not a good idea.
But here's
Cam Newton. Assuming health, Cam Newton's number one, yes.
Here's the thing. It's a fascinating division when it comes to quarterbacks because you've got Cam Newton, all kinds of questions there, high ceiling. Sam Darnold, you know, what is he? Josh Allen, you either love him or you really don't like him. I'm more in your camp. Tua, a total wild card, right, with the health.
I wouldn't even play him this year.
He probably won't, but you get my point. It's a fascinating division when it comes, because think about all the upside that you could argue the upside of all four quarterbacks. And I think it's Fitzpatrick instead of Tua this year, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it's a fascinating division when it comes to quarterbacks.
We'll continue to take your calls here on Agenda Free Friday. Got an open line if you want to join us at 617-779-0985. If you couldn't tell from the beginning of this segment, we'll pretty much take your calls on anything here with yours truly, Big Jim Murray in the A-hole chair, Matt McCarthy as well. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. And speaking of it being Agenda Free, I would like to take a moment to say a few words about what I thought was a Boston radio legend. Who passed away in the last 24 hours. I want to touch on that next here on Felger and Mez.
Felger and Mez.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good pull, Jimmy Stewart. I have like this Pavlovian response when I hear this song. As I'm sure many of you do that are hardcore radio listeners in this area. Who is this again? I should know this. This is Soul Coughing, right?
Collective Soul Heavy.
Collective Soul Heavy. And that was the bumper music that would begin Jay Severin's show each and every day when he was on 96.9 WTKK. It's Felger and Mas, 98.5 of Sports. So Jim Murray and Matt McCarthy in for the guys today. Agenda Free Friday. I just wanted to take a minute to talk about this. Yeah, boy, I hadn't heard that song in a while. It's funny. Like, I hear it, and it's like I immediately think
it gets it going, doesn't
it? Yeah, and so to be a truly compelling talk show host, it's not an easy thing to pull off. And strong, you know, you got to have strong opinions. You got to back up emphatically. You got to own them. And more importantly than anything else, especially when you're doing political talk like Jay Severin did, you got to be comfortable being hated.
Oh, yeah.
And Jay Severin was that. I never met the man. I used to listen. I'll be honest, like I mostly hate listening, and that's how you know you're good as a host. Like, I didn't agree with probably 70-80% of the stuff that he said as a conservative talk show host. But I found the man compelling. I thought he was great post 9/11 and a must listen. I listened to him almost daily at that point in my life. So you know, former conservative talk show host. He once worked in this very building at 96.9 WTKK at the height of his career. I read that he passed away from cancer within the last couple of days at 69. And the other thing that's funny about this is I recently found him again slumming it on like a low-watt local station.
Like an AMer type
of
thing?
It's North Shore 104.9. Like, and I have it programmed because I actually don't mind their music mix. But like, you can't really get it past Wakefield.
No.
Like, I think their stick is in
Gloucester
or Beverly or whatever it is. I mean, it's as North Shore gets. And I was driving around on a Sunday after hitting a bucket of balls up in Middleton, and I was like, "Why do I know this voice?" And it was in the last couple of Sundays, Jay Severin was like slumming it late Sunday afternoons on this station. It was like, and it was also a reminder of like, oh, just how cruel this business can be. And it's like, I saw my future. I'm like, oh, what hell low watt AM will I be on in 20 years?
Spinning country tracks again.
Right.
Jim.
But I just heard him, and again, didn't agree with like 90% of what he was saying, but he was always like an interesting listen because he believed in what he said, and a lot of it controversial, ugly at times. But I found him a compelling listen. I will also say there was a time, that no one will remember this because we had like five listeners, but when I did afternoons at WFNX, I even mocked him. At 5 o'clock, I used to give away like whatever the prize happened to be of the day, and I used to do big, you'd spin a fake wheel, Big Jim's Big Wheel of Big Dumb Games, and one of the games was the Jay Severin stereotype of Palooza, and I would do his voice and give you the stereotype of a certain segment of the population, and then you'd have to guess who Jay Severin, using air quotes, was talking about, because at times he came off as ugly and bigoted, as sometimes can happen in conservative talk radio. But again, I ultimately, was I a fan? Yes. And so it was sad news to read that he died this week at 69, when I literally just heard him on the air again, live, in the last couple of Sundays. And it was funny, this last time I heard him, it was just this past Sunday. His, and I don't know what kind of cancer, maybe it was throat cancer. Like his voice sounded like rough, and he didn't sound good. So, sad, but I guess I'm not that surprised. He didn't really sound that good that last time I heard him. Ooh, slumming it on like a station that gets like, it's like a 5,000 water. Like, oh, God, ooh, what an ugly future that is for any of us. But, sad news, again, for a guy that was very successful in this building quite a long time ago. And I thought was one of the real radio titans in this market, at least in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. So, Excelsior. Jay Severin, as he was wont to say. I will say, one of my close friends was his producer towards the end of his time at TKK, so the mm-hmm. worst guy he ever worked for. Like,
heard that from just multiple people in this industry.
Yeah, but I thought a talented broadcaster, and just wanted to bring that up for a moment.
Occasionally call in here, believe it or not.
Yeah, so fill me in on this. I saw Ryan Johnston tweet about this today, too. And were you part of this at one point on the weekends? Like, he would apparently call this station as a caller?
Yeah, just Jay from Rockport. We'd occasionally get a call, and it's like, man, where do I know that voice? And Hardy started bantering back and forth. I was like, oh, Hardy must know this guy. I was on with Hardy, and maybe Troop was there, I'm not sure, but I was doing headlines, and I was like, man, I know this voice. And Hardy said during the break, he's like, yeah, that was Severin calling in from Rockport. Jay from Rockport.
I'll give him credit, because that's when you know you're a radio loser. Like, when you work in radio and you're still calling
in on
other radio shows.
Yeah.
Who I used to do that? Because who did... I loved him. He did overnights at WBZ for years. Help me.
Oh, no, I know it.
He was...
I used to listen all the time.
Such an easy listen. He had such a collection of whack jobs that would call in all the time.
It was the best. That overnight is... It's not Bradley. It was before Bradley J.
Before Bradley J. It was there forever. And they made a stink about it when he got fired that first time, and then they brought him back.
God, I used to listen all the time.
Damn it. But I would call into his show occasionally.
Of course he would.
When I was working radio.
Of course he would.
He was
because
a compelling
you've been
listen.
Bit by the bug.
Yeah, I had insomnia. Like, I would be up all night listening to him like
the
rest of the
like
weirdos.
Late night
listen.
Drives. Oh, man.
God,
why do I not know it?
Why do I not know that name? It's been
Jay
ages.
Severin, by the way, called this very radio show on a few occasions.
Did he really? God, wow. Yeah, that's how you know you really got the bug. But again, fare thee well to Jay Severin and all the best to his family. He passed away this week at 69. Let's go to Jack.
Steve Lavelli.
Thank you. Yeah, Steve
Lavelli.
The nicest guy you'll ever meet, too. Steve Lavelli. Yeah. Now that, I had called into his show a couple of times while working in radio. That's how you know you're a radio loser. Jack in Connecticut, you're next here on Agenda Free Friday on Felger and Maz. Hello.
Hello, sir.
Yes, hi.
I'm just calling in regard to Steve Gostkowski, who you and your partners slaughter all the time, and how terrible he is. Do you know that he's the greatest scorer in the history of the National Football League?
Yeah, and I don't need to be yelled at about Steven Gostkowski or tist about Steven Gostkowski. He was fine. He put up a lot of stats. He will live in the shadow of Adam Vinatieri forever. Right. It's the return to New England.
Not happening.
No. They have the kid that they drafted who had the 3%er tattoo removed, so hopefully everyone's okay with that now. The kid kicks bombs. It's time to move on from Steven Gostkowski. Injury issues towards the end here, and you always expected him to shank a kick or an extra point at the worst possible time in the biggest games.
Did it 4 years in a row.
If you can't admit that, then you're just lying to yourself. Scott in South Boston on the return of the NHL. Hello, Scott.
Mr. Murray, I feel like I've been waiting on a state of Massachusetts line. That's the only knock I'll ever give to.
I apologize. I saw you've been on here 2 hours. So that, yeah.
I just switched phones. So real quick, hey, great job between you and McCarthy succinctly and articulating the Boston attitude. That was phenomenal. I hope that's part of the final word.
Oh, thanks.
My question for you is this. You probably don't remember because you get a million calls, but a few weeks ago, you, Felger, and Maz, the question of the day was, why won't sports come back? And my answer was because everything's been politicized. So here's a question, especially segueing off of what McCarthy said about his excitement as far as the NHL coming back. Do you think that the NHL has a stronger chance of coming back because they've gotten the hell out, excuse my language, out of the United States, and they're going to do it in Canada? I'll hang up and listen.
Yes,
Scott, absolutely.
I absolutely do. I think that is part of it. I think that the NHL players are the most humble and nice of the professional athletes you'll ever meet. A lot of Canadians, inherently nice there, too. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're, that they figured out a CBA as quickly as they did shows you that they're willing to work for the greater good, was the term you used earlier. If any of these leagues is going to work, it's the NHL. You don't hear any bitching from the players. You don't hear really any of the concerns. If they have them, they're certainly keeping them to themselves. I think that they were right to wait until the last minute to find their hub cities. I was convinced it was Las Vegas. That's how it was being reported. And then with the numbers being going up the way that they have in Nevada and in that area of the country with COVID, they're like, yeah, we're good. And so now it's Edmonton and Toronto, and they're right to do that, for the safety of their players and to try to get their sport underway. No, the NHL's done this whole thing right, as well as you can deal with these circumstances and these incredibly uncertain, crazy times we're living in, and scary. The NHL, tipped the old proverbial cap because they've handled it as best as they possibly can. If any sport's going to happen, it's the NHL.
Right, and the location is a big part of it. Going up to Canada where they're not dealing with this the way that we're dealing with this, is definitely going to help them. There's no doubt about it, Jim.
All right, McCarthy's going to get you caught up with the help headlines here. Got a couple of open lines. You want to join us here on a truly agenda-free Friday, if you haven't been able to figure that out yet. 617-779-0985. More of your calls coming up next here on Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Colin Coward of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Mazzarotti.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 to Sports Hub. Agenda free Friday. Before we go to the calls, Jimmy, I don't know if you saw the latest tweets by Brian Robb, Boston Sports Journal, covering the Celtics. Do you want to take a victory lap? Because B-Rob tweeting that Brad Stevens, head coach of the Boston Celtics, as they are now all down in Orlando, getting ready to begin the bubble play in the NBA. Brad Stevens said 20 or so minutes ago, Celtics are going to move, and I quote, very slowly with Kemba Walker in terms of ramping up his knee. Indeed. Yeah, you have said since this whole lockdown, with the assumption that the NBA was going to be coming back, Celtics, of course, going to be involved. Kemba Walker, they'll all be healthy. It's going to be all in the up and up for the Celtics. They can come out of the East have as good a chance as anybody. You have occasionally piped in, Kemba Walker's not right. Knee's still a problem. Knee's still a problem. Knee's still a problem. What do you know? Brad Stevens saying today, and I'm reading here from Chris Forsberg, we're going to move slowly with Kemba, let him strengthen, and make sure he's all good to go as we enter the seeding games and into the playoffs. Indeed. So it's not right. What else? What else do you believe in regard to Kemba's knee?
That's it. I've said my piece. Okay. He hasn't had a chance to rehab during this whole time because they wouldn't let him into the gym. So, I mean, it's kind of an obvious point, but, you know, what do I know?
Little bit.
I'm just a rumor and innuendo gossiping radio producer. So
who just happens to be right.
Again.
The majority of the time.
Right. Again.
Take your victory lap, Jimmy. Dino in Florida on Cam Newton and the Patriots. Hello, Dino.
Honey Jack for all.
Yes, guys, I'm a longtime listener, and I just got to make a comment and ask you a question.
All right.
Now, seems like the show got a little gun-shy lately, kind of afraid to speak your mind. So when and if Cam Newton starts to suck and bomb, are you guys going to be able to say he sucks, or are you going to be afraid because he's black?
What?
Well, you know, look, the Felgren Maz seemingly fell into a... A bit of a pickle. A week that I was out on vacation for commenting on the flamboyant post-touchdown Superman cam type of thing, and it wouldn't jive here, and it became like a national story. Mm-hmm. And people questioning, you know, were they being sneaky racist? Was it a dog whistle? Which I was like, wow, this is really a sign of the times. Like, if you've ever listened to the show with any regularity, they bash anybody and everybody.
Yes, they hate fun,
regardless of race, creed, color, whatever it happens to be. What they are. Are the fun police. And Cam, a little too flamboyant and fun. So what they're hating on is the fun aspect of Cam Newton. And then they found themselves in a matter of like 24 hours, I was like, this has devolved into this? What? And it wasn't just the usual cast of losers that, you know, hate everyone that works here and both stations and all that. I was like, okay, that's to be expected. But this became like a national thing.
Didn't like Rich Eisen retweeted or something?
Yeah,
like,
it was being talked about by Max Kellerman. And thankfully, Stephen A. Smith was the voice of reason. So, you know, look, I mean, I think the caller actually, so who knows? You know, I think Mike handled it great towards the end of the week, too. Tony was out that day saying that it's like, no, we're equal opportunity bashers here. At least, right. You know, that's what this particular show is, and Mike specifically. And it's, you're going to get on Tom Brady for 9 straight years. We're going to, you know, treat Cam Newton the same way. That's what it is. If some people take it one way and they're like, oh, I hear a dog whistle. Well, that's, I mean, speaking for myself, if that's how people take it, if I, you know, bash Cam Newton, well, that's on you.
Jim, to paraphrase, Felger and Maz treat everyone poorly.
Right.
Yeah, that's all. That's what it comes down to. So who knows? We'll cross that bridge as well when we get to it, because we live in the worst time ever. Let's go to Terry in Brookline on the Patriots. Go ahead, Terry.
Oh. Hey, Murray, big fan. I just was wondering, do you think BB is going to give number 12 to a practice squatter?
Oh, what will they do with the number 12? Thanks for the call, Terry.
Oh, wouldn't that be petty?
I don't know. No, I don't think he'd be that petty. Like,
that would be juicy.
Well, you know how? Well, you know why? No, he wouldn't. Because if he was that petty, he'd want it to be seen, and so there's not going to really be anybody covering these, you know, practices, right? And there's certainly not going to be anyone at training camp or anything like that. If he wanted to stick it to Tom by giving the number 12 to someone else in the interim before they ultimately retire it, you'd want cameras and reporters on it, and then no, you know, I don't think he'll do it.
I was just waiting for him to ask Cam Newton, you want to be number 12?
No, Cam's always been.
Wasn't Mohamed Sanu 12 in Cincinnati?
Yeah, right? I think that he was.
Yeah, he was.
Maybe he gets his number back.
Oh, wouldn't that be a kick in the crotch? Ryan and frankly, just in terms of the pettiness and the storyline, I'm rooting for that. I hope that that does happen, because I think that there is... not, you know, deep, thick, bad blood between the two, but I think that there's a thing. I think that there's certainly, it's why Tom Brady's in Tampa between the two. So something that petty, I'd be rooting for.
Mohamed Sanu's Twitter handle, by the way, Mo_12_Sanu.
Give it a Sanu. Yeah, that's what I'm rooting for now. That's what I want. Ryan in Arlington on Cam Newton. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, Murray. Big fan of the show. You guys are awesome. Cam Newton. If he does what I think he's going to do this year and have a redemption-type year, do you think the Patriots would look to franchise him? And if so, how much is that tag going to be?
The last I looked, so when I just checked this the other day, and thanks for the call, Ryan, I think it's around $20 million for a quarterback.
It seems low, doesn't it, for a quarterback?
I mean, 20 guaranteed? No, yeah, it actually does seem low based on...
Wouldn't we be talking more in the 30 range for a quarterback?
Let's see. NFL... Google it, McCarthy.
Okay, I will. I'll let you do your thing.
So even if it's, I mean, look, if he plays, if he balls out and he's as close to where he was in 2017 and before these injuries caught up with him, then he'd ultimately be worth it if he was franchised around even, you know, $25, $26 million.
Franchise tag for quarterbacks this year, $26 million, 26.8.
Oh, okay. So maybe it'll be closer to 30 next year because the number will go up. Why don't I get 20? What off-brand hell website was I on looking at that? Look, if it's great and say they win the Super Bowl, he hits all his incentives or all that, or they just fall short, but it's a ridiculous year for him, he'll be 32 next year. Yeah, I mean, use the franchise tag to your advantage, or just use it and get a third-round pick back. And you trade him away and at least prove, at least offensively, you can do it in a completely different way with an athletic mobile quarterback. And then you try to find someone younger via the draft, or maybe, you know, Baker Mayfield falls free in Cleveland if he fails there this year, and you can do it with someone younger.
I'm fine with the franchise tag. I think, you know, it's great they have that to their advantage, you know, by Newton not having that provision in his contract. I would shy strongly away from a long-term contract just because I worry about the breakdown factor. We don't know if he's healthy this year, you know, let alone 3-5 years from now.
Tom and Quincy with a thought on the big news in MLB today of Buster Posey opting out with the San Francisco Giants. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Hey, I want to talk about Posey real quick, but that caller about how he's saying maybe Felga might shy away from that whole Cam Newton thing if he sucks or something like that. Whenever I think that people think that Felga won't take his medicine, I think back to the Roy Halladay situation. So, please, that guy sat there for 4 hours and got absolutely lambasted by callers, and he took every single bit of it. So, hell, that guy can go to, yeah, whatever. But as far as this, as far as Posey goes, especially to Matt, I'll say, I know there's been some good players that have opted out for different reasons, be it Price or Zimmerman, or, I mean, no disrespect to Mike Leake, but Buster Posey is by far the most accomplished player to say that he can't come back. I mean, from what I understand, it's a pretty significant reason why he can't. Totally. He doesn't want to participate. But seriously, I mean, he's won every award that Major League Baseball has to offer in his career. So this isn't some guy that is just kind of like, well, yeah, you know, I just had a kid. I'm going to take the time off. No. This guy's legit. Like, he's an MVP. He's a batting title. He's won World Series. He's done the whole show. So my question to you guys is, when a guy like that, that accomplished in the league, that respected in the league, when he says, I'm going to opt out for this particular reason, is this going to maybe open the floodgates? And I mean, that might be an extreme word, but kind of with some of the more affluent players, the more respectable players, the more dominant players, would that maybe see him do it? And they go, hey, you know what? This just, it's not worth it for me.
Yeah.
And just kind of bail.
Tom, thanks for the call. I think so. I think it already happened with David Price.
Sure.
I mean, you know, look, we feel a certain way, I think, by and large, about David Price around here, and he's a pud and a pill. But he's still a name, and at least in any clubhouse he's ever played in, is well-respected by his teammates. When he opted out over the weekend, I thought that was huge. Buster Posey's another one. So I think you're seeing these dominoes fall. Yeah, I think, you know, so Mike Trout, like, could be next. He's already, you know, alluded to it. Yeah, I think there's going to be at least a few more big names that opt out of this.
Maybe this type of thing doesn't resonate nationally because baseball isn't a national sport anymore, but it's still a regional sport. And Buster Posey is the face of a franchise, one of the most important franchises in the game, in a market where baseball is still healthy. I mean, the Giants, you know, they're huge in San Francisco.
One of the four teams that's going to be involved on the opening night.
Right, and for good reason. Buster Posey is like their Derek Jeter. I mean, you're talking about, you know, like one of the, he is their star. He is literally that entire franchise. So to have Buster, and listen, he's not the same player that he once was. He's older now, but this is a massive domino to fall in the baseball world on one of the most prestigious, one of the still few franchises that actually still matters in the sport. This is a big one. It is.
We'll wrap up with John in the car. Again, truly agenda-free today and an agenda-free Friday. John, you're next here on Felger and Mass.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Big fan of you guys. You guys seem smart. I might sound paranoid. Would you guys go back to the gym, or do you think it's still a little too soon to do that?
John, what kind
of thoughts, please?
And I'll let you go. Well, John, before I let you go, what kind of gym? Are you talking like a big, you know, one of those big national chain-type gyms, or a small...
Nah, local YMCA.
So Matt already, I think Matt's paranoia level is higher with me than mine with the COVID. Again, I'm concerned about it. I wear the mask.
I'll take any excuse not to go to the gym, Jim.
So I am a proud paying member of a smaller operation. It's Rebirth in Wakefield. Shout out to my guy, Julian. But it's a small place. It's and it's like more about personal training. It's you know, there's usually not more than one or two people in the gym at the same time, so that's where, you know, that makes me feel comfortable. But you're inside, and you've certainly been in a place where people are sweating and breathing heavy and all of that. But I'm more than comfortable with that. A big, big one of these chain type ones. I don't know. I would be a no on that.
Yeah, I'm a hard no.
Because I think the smaller the place, and I don't know what that guy's, sure, you know, what his particular why is like, but I like to believe that the smaller the place, the more it's being taken care of, the more that they're on the up and up with the cleanliness, right, and disinfecting and all of that. And I know with the place I go to, I see it firsthand. Mm-hmm. So I trust them, do the runs. It's a great guy. Like, so I'm, yeah, I have no issues there.
But, well, that's how I've approached restaurants and stuff. Like, oh, I know the owner. I know how, yeah, seriously they're taking this. I've gone here forever, and I know the type of operation that it is. That's how I've approached with the places that I'm now going as we reopen or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, no, I see what you're saying there.
Yeah, but, boy, I've driven by some of the other bigger ones, boy, and just this week, now that Phase 3 has kicked in this this state, I've seen a lot of cars in those parking lots, and, you know, if you're comfortable, whatever. Different strokes for different folks, but, yeah, over my dead body would I go to, like, a giant chain gym right now. Like, who knows? With that, we will wrap up with a final word next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
That would be nobody.
Nobody at all. You want to go back to some simpler times, Jim? Well,
always. If I had it my way, Matt, it would be 1998 on a loop. But go ahead.
We can go back to some simpler times. All right. A few years ago, when it seemed like the only care we had in the world was the fact that the sun was going to go away for a little bit. A best of today on the final word, one of my favorites. Maz in the Path of Totality.
Very good.
Okay, it's about T-minus 3 minutes now. T-minus 3 minutes. You can cut the suspense with a knife here in Wyoming. It is unbelievable. Hey, it's Maz. Again, just letting you know, we have contact. The moon has eclipsed the sun at least in part. Again, we have contact. We have totality. We have it. We have it here in Wyoming. The sun is gone. You can see it, but I can't. Oh, my God. At the moment of totality, I felt a complete oneness, a solidarity, a unity with the universe.
Maz on the Path of Totality, along with the great Fuppets put together by Hardy.
Bravo,
for those
Hardy.
On the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Boy, I thought, and in watching that, I was like, this is two summers ago. August 21st, 2017. Oh, my God. I know, it feels like a lifetime ago.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.